Hey, everybody. Bill Shirk, the man about the woods for the Minnesota Historical Society. You know, you need to come visit historic Fort Snelling. It's Minnesota's first national historic landmark, and it just reopened May 28th after 2 years of restoration. This is the place where waters, people, and ideas have come together for thousands of years. People are able to hear many stories told by many voices and learn more about how lives and history intersect. Whether revisiting your favorite parts of history or learning something new, it's waiting for you at historic Fort Snelling. Hey, you can learn more at mnhs.org/Fort Snelling. We'll see you there.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories. I'm Laura Sherry, your host for today, and I'm looking forward to chatting with our next guests. We are talking about proper gun fit, specifically for women today, and Kate Onstrom is the owner of Virginia Shooting Sports, is a certified professional instructor, and she's also a pro staffer with Siren Shotguns, and she enjoys shooting her Siren Tempio sporting 20 gauge. That's the same shotgun that I have. Kate, welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast.
Laura, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I am delighted that you're joining us today for two reasons. I think you're going to be giving out some critical information when it comes to proper gun fit for women, and specifically women just getting started in shooting sports. But also later in the podcast, we'll be chatting about your free clinic you'll be giving with Siren Shotguns coming up on June 2nd, which is free, ladies. I will say that many times over. So I personally am really excited to meet you at the event. Let's get started kind of chatting about, we will start with proper gun fit and why it's so important, when it comes to shooting sports. And, I guess I'll start off by asking you, should women, if they're just getting brand new, getting into the world of shooting sports, whether it's, upland bird hunting or sporting clays, trap, whatever, if a lot of times there's either maybe if you're learning from your dad or your husband, they kind of just pass over their shotgun. Is that a mistake that's happening? Should they be, immediately starting off with their own gun that's fit for them?
So honestly, Laura, my immediate answer, because I get this a lot of times, I have someone who is super excited. They come out to me for a lesson. They spend a couple hours with me. They see that they can not only crush clays, but do it very competently. My immediate response to them is normally, whatever you do, do not go buy a gun for at least the next 3 to 6 months. And I know that sounds crazy, but I would almost rather they just shoot whatever gun they have in hand, because there's no investment on that particular firearm. It's just the gun that they have. And if they came to me and used it in the lesson and it fit them somewhat, then that's the best gun for them to use. And I say that because a lot of times when I have a new shooter, they got into it because, like, maybe hubby is a bird hunter and wants them to get into it. Or maybe they have a young child who has taken an interest in sporting clay competition or skeet or trap, what have you. So the problem is they're not even particularly sure yet at this present time what they want to do. And I say that because there's a reason they make more than one gun.
Sure, exactly.
And there's a reason you should own more than one gun. I have a safe full, but that's because it depends. Am I going out for pheasant? Am I doing a preserve hunt for quail or chucker? Am I going out to the sporting clays course? Am I going to shoot skeet and trap? There's different elements of each of those particular setups on the gun that will impact your performance.
Got it. And do those types of things, do they impact your performance greatly, or are they more when you really are getting dialed into a specific sport or specific, hunting adventure that you would need to invest in that?
So great question, because in the beginning, it will greatly affect your performance because you're not comfortable with your stance. You're not quite sure about the relationship between you and that particular shotgun. Whereas someone like myself, or, you know, it's kind of funny, my husband gets thrown into whatever gun I have literally in the back of the truck. And I'm like, oh, hey, here, I need you to drop birds for the dogs today for the handlers over at Oropax or something. And he's like, what? What am I shooting? And I'm like, it's fine. It's a D2. You're good.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, whatever. You know, so a more experienced shooter can kind of just roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they already have the knowledge and the ability and the capability to switch from gun to gun to gun, because they know what the sight picture is supposed to be. They know how the gun is supposed to fit. Whereas a newer shooter, it's really, really important that they're comfortable and that they understand what is supposed to happen out in front of them.
Got it. And are you able, let's talk about that for a minute on what understanding how to look at a target when you're first getting started. Let's just use the world of trap and sporting clays. And then we can get into some upland bird hunting too. But if you're giving somebody some instruction, just a basic overview, how would you explain it? Because I have personally worked with a few different coaches and I have found that each of them have their own different way of explaining it. So I'm curious on your thoughts.
Yeah, and it will be different from coach to coach. We all have our own particular style that we kind of put on our coaching and instruction. But I think the biggest difference, Laura, is you're going to find in the, I guess, where was that instructor certified? So I'm certified at the Paragon School of Sporting by Dan Schindler. And the biggest thing that Paragon instructors do is make certain that the student understands if they miss, why they miss, most importantly, how to fix it so you don't miss again.
Got it.
And that's just something that when I went to go be certified was absolutely critical for me, because, I mean, I would love for people to stay with me forever. I mean, it's a great finance model, I guess, but at the end of the day, you know, everybody needs to kind of graduate on and just come to me for tune-ups here and there. But when I have someone and I kind of explain it to them, because everybody kind of says, oh, well, I'm going to go shoot skeet. And skeet has become such a blanket term. It can mean actual game of skeet. It can mean the game of trap. It can mean the game of sporting clays. It can mean you're just going to be in the backyard whipping out clay with a hand thrower. You know, the game of skeet itself, you've got a high house and a low house. The shooter rotates among 8 stations. The game of trap, you've got a 5 station rotation, and everything is just a, you know, like a flushing bird. And then the game of sporting clays, I tell them it's anything and everything you can imagine and stuff that we just make up for fun, you know? So it's great for people like myself that really love to hunt and want to perfect those presentations, maybe for teal or a pheasant, you know, be it a driven pheasant or flushed, you know, a quick snappy little quail. Woodies, you know, zipping through trees, all that kind of fun stuff.
Sure. And I find sporting clays to be the most entertaining, just because you're, you know, it's almost like golfing for shooting sports where you're going from station to station.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah.
Each course that you go to has very unique presentations, some of which sometimes I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's how that clay bird's going to fly. Okay. But again, I'm not an expert. So sometimes it's very humbling experiences. And sometimes you have some days where you're shooting pretty good. And there are times for me, I'll speak for myself, that I have days that I'm shooting horribly. So I'm still a work in progress, but, and I think that's part of the journey with, shooting sports, is not to get too hard on yourself and to continue to take lessons. And that's what I do. I've been, shooting for quite a few years now, and I continue to hire coaches and try to learn anything new that I possibly can to improve, because I still need a lot of improvement.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in this industry for 10 years with my own business we're celebrating our 5-year anniversary this September.
Oh, congratulations.
And, you know, one of my mentors was down for this past weekend, and I was like, hey, Tom, you know, in between lessons, you're going to tune me up here and there. I mean, I'm always looking for opportunity. You're always growing. You're always learning. You will never see every single presentation out there, because someone somewhere has figured out how to either loosen or tighten a spring on a trap and make it do something super squirrely. So, yeah. You know, there's always room for improvement when it comes to sporting clays. Not to, you know, poo-poo on skeet and trap, but at the end of the day, there's only two birds on skeet that never, ever change.
Sure.
And trap, there's not but so many presentations you can get off of that particular bird.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, if we have, you know, we'll just speak to women in general here today, but someone who really wants to commit to the sport of sporting clays or hunting, if you will, and they want to go purchase their own gun and not use somebody else's, what would you say are some of the things to consider with gun fit for women in particular?
Yeah. So this is a conversation I have a lot, just in any given week, especially, you know, doesn't matter if it's a new student or a student that's been to me for a couple of lessons and now they're ready to make that purchase. The first thing I ask them is, okay, well, you know, Melissa, whoever, what is it that you want to do? Are you looking at shooting mostly sporting clays? Do you want to compete in sporting clays? Do you want to shoot skeet? Do you want to shoot trap? Are you mostly going to hunt? And if you're going to hunt, is it upland, woodland, or waterfowl? Because you do need the gun to be set up a little bit different from each of those particular types of shooting.
Sure.
So once we kind of narrow down, let's say I've got someone who says, oh, you know what, Kate, I really like sporting clays. I don't know that I want to compete, but I enjoy being able to shoot, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a month with my friends, and, you know, my beloved likes to shoot, so it's nice to go out with him. And I'll probably be able to hunt, you know, 2 or 3 times a year. So this is someone who probably would be well served with, you know, like my gun, and it sounds like the same gun that you have, is the Tempio Sporting. It's a little bit heavier because they're predominantly going to be shooting mostly clay, which you're not going to drive all the way to the clay course just to shoot 10 birds. You're going to shoot at least 50 to 100 birds. So you need that weight to take the recoil. But it's not so heavy that you can't drag it out into a hunt field and be able to get it up quick enough to deal with a, you know, a flushed pheasant. So once we have that conversation about what it is they want to do with the gun, then we can start to get into as far as, you know, okay, well, is there anything that we need to be aware of? Has there been, you know, any surgery in their face? Has there been a rotator cuff injury? You know, we're getting into kind of the nitty gritty of their length of pull, making sure that when they're on the gun, that their eye is sitting on the rib where it needs to be. So there's a lot of little things that go into it. And that's just after once we've figured out what it is they want to do.
The Scherer family enjoys spending a lot of time outside. Hence, we care what goes into our environment. That's why we support propane, the energy for everyone. Did you know that propane produces fewer greenhouse gas emissions than electricity generated on the U.S. grid? Propane's emissions are 43% fewer. That's a lot. Propane is clean, dependable, and affordable. Plus, it's produced right here in the USA. Let's all do our part to reduce emissions from our homes, cabins, and businesses by choosing propane, the right energy right now. To learn more about propane, the energy for everyone, go to propane.com.
Hi there, Ron Shera here for Star Bank. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone. Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net.
Hey, I'm really picky when it comes to my drinking water, and I have the reverse osmosis drinking water system from Kinetico, and I love it. It takes out contaminants in the water, it removes chlorine, and most important, it tastes great, which is the one thing I'm probably most picky on is how does my water taste. So having Kinetico also means that I use less plastic water bottles, which we all know is a definite bonus for our environment. For more information, visit Kinetico.com to find a dealer near you.
You know, what I found was a learning lesson for me, and I've had some frustrations in the past with proper gun fit is before, you know, I discovered Siren and shotguns that were specifically made for women. I personally feel that it is a game changer in the world of ease of finding something that fits you correctly. Just because I had tried purchasing, you know, a regular semi-auto and had a gunsmith work on it, and I found that I just couldn't get the fit ever to really fit properly. And then I switched, and this is probably a bigger mistake, but I switched to a youth shotgun. And then I was having even more trouble. Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was way too light, which I didn't know. And also too short.
Too small. Yeah.
Yes. But what's interesting is I learned how to, so I created bad habits. I learned how to use that gun on the Sporting Clays course fairly decently, not great. But when I get in the pheasant field, I was a disaster because I think there's just so many elements going on. But so since switching to the Siren, I love the fit and it fits perfectly. However, it's almost like I have to untrain some bad habits that I took on with that youth shotgun. So it's been definitely a really big learning curve for me. But that's why I'm such a big advocate of proper gun fit from the very beginning. With women specifically, because it's so easy to, again, borrow your husband's gun. I always say it's like trying to golf with men's golf clubs. You might be able to do it, but you're not going to always be the best.
Yeah. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be comfortable. And, you know, I'm really glad, Laura, that you brought up the youth model. I don't know why. And I actually have had quite a few ladies come to me that were, let's see, I mean, I'm almost 6 foot tall. I'm, you know, not the average size girl, but I've had quite a few ladies come to me that were maybe 5'4", 5'5", 5'6", and really petite. And as soon as they would walk in somewhere, immediately, and I think it's one, because they were a female, and two, because they were slightly smaller stature and very petite, it was immediately told to them that they had to shoot a youth model because they wouldn't be able to swing a bigger gun. Mm-hmm. And that youth model ended up being, you know, they come to me like, oh, you know, my husband bought this to me. He told me I had to shoot a youth. I'm like, okay, so let me try and figure out where I can pull another inch and a half to inch and three quarters of stock out for you, because you're already sitting on top of your thumb with your nose.
Yes.
You know, the length of pull isn't necessarily determined. It's not determined by how tall you are. You know, my husband's 6'7", and you would automatically look at him and be like, oh my God, he has to have like a 17 and a half or 18 inch length of pull. Well, he doesn't, because he's broken his neck in a couple of places from a car accident years ago. So he physically can't put his head that far out, you know? So there's lots of little things that go into gun fit that people need to realize. Don't just look at somebody like, oh, you know, you're 5'5" and $1.25. So here's your youth Remington.
Yes, I know. And for those that are brand new to the world of shooting sports, if they're listening, can you just explain what length of pull is?
Yeah, so the length of pull, basically, when you put the gun up into what I call the pocket, it's that little spot. And for my women, I tell them, you know, don't be bashful. It's kind of right where your bra strap sits. Yeah. I mean, for no other easier way to explain it, it's that little pocket in your shoulder. So from there to where their nose is going to sit out on the comb of the gun. If they have a gun that's too short, their nose is going to be too far forward. And basically it's going to be sitting right up at the back of the hand where the hand is going to be on the grip. If the gun is too long, then that nose is going to be sitting way back and it's going to be hard for them to get the right sight picture because they're going to have so much gun out in front of them. They're not going to be able to see anything but the gun.
Yep.
So it's hard to pick. I mean, it's already hard enough. You've got 2 feet of steel at the end of your nose. And when you complicate it with a long barrel to boot, it just makes it even more difficult for them just to look at the clay. And that's really what you need to do. Cause this is not an aiming sport. This is a pointing sport. You know, we aim rifle pistol archery where we want sight super clear and the target fuzzy, but this is the opposite. This is a pointing game where we want the target to be clear and the end of the gun is fuzzy or even better. You don't even notice it at all. And you can't do that if your eye is buried behind the receiver or the gun is just, I can't stress enough how important gun fit is.
That it is. And is there a certain barrel length that you hear that term a lot too, that is recommended?
Yeah. For your personal? And again, it kind of depends on what you want to do.
Sure.
You know, my Tempio is 30-inch barrels. But again, that's because I'm 6 foot and I don't care saying it, 6 foot, 200 pounds. I'm a big girl. So when I swing that gun, I need some weight out there for me.
Sure.
But I don't want so much weight that I can't get it up quickly on a field trial or a hunt field.
Yep.
So typically anywhere around 28-inch to 30-inch barrels. Again, just kind of assess, are you mostly hunting or are you getting more into competition clay? Or it doesn't even have to be competition, but predominantly shooting just clay pigeons. You can go with a longer barrel. You can go with more weight on the gun. But that's just, again, you just really need to assess what it is you want to do. And I have to say that don't worry, the gun that you buy today is not going to be the last gun that you have.
Sure isn't.
You will certainly add. Yeah. I mean, I just recently brought down an L4S demo for my husband to see if he liked it. So he's going to use it for field trials. Granted, it's the full size, what I call the boy side. But I started shooting the L4S demo women's model that Siren has. I was like, man, I can't miss with this thing.
Oh, that's exciting.
So I was like, maybe this will be my new dove gun.
I love it. You know, it is an extraordinary feeling when you have the proper gun fit, I will say. And that's really what brought me to Siren in the first place. Is I was at Game Fair, which is a big outdoor trade show. I'm sure you're familiar. And I demoed the Siren there. And I was like, wow, this is a total difference as far as immediate fit and comfort. I almost couldn't believe it because, you know, women's shotguns are fairly new. I mean, it's not like it's been 15 years. They've been making women's shotguns. So to finally have something that fits right off the rack, for me anyway, just by my height and size, I was thrilled. So, but I have to say, since switching to it, there is a learning curve and I feel like we have to get to know each other for me because I'm not an advanced shooter. So I'm still I feel like, yeah, I keep saying like the gun and I are still getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Shooting it the first couple of times, you know, I would hit some clays and I was missing them. But I did feel much more comfortable, if you will. And I have to unlearn some bad habits, but we'll get there. I wanted to ask you if you would share some tips and tricks too for mounting the gun to your shoulder properly for, I guess for anybody really. Do you have any great tips on that?
Yeah. So this is something, and this also has a lot to do with how you're standing. I've kind of seen a couple other instructors, you know, like, oh, and it's something that they do in the game of skeet. So I get it. I understand why they're trying to get someone to stand that way. But again, the game of skeet, you got two birds that never, ever change. I mean, they stick a hoop out in the middle of the field in the morning when they first fire up the fields to make sure the birds didn't move from last night.
Yep.
Whereas in sporting clays and hunting, God only knows what the bird is going to do. You know, so you want to make sure that you're not what I call flat fronting the bird. You want your body kind of siding the bird, I guess, to say, you know, I'm a right eye dominant shooter, so I shoot off the right side. So my left foot is forward of my right foot, just, you know, about shoulder length apart, maybe just a tiny bit more. And what that does is it helps to open up the upper portion of your body so you can get into your gun better. I've had plenty of times someone's brought me a gun and they start out and they're very uncomfortable with the stance and they're not quite sure how to stand with the gun. And I'm like, ugh, boy, you know, at first impression, it looks like the gun is way too long for them. And within about, you know, 8-10 shots, all of a sudden, the gun is actually just a tiny bit short for them because now they've started to get comfortable and they've started to stand with their feet properly mounted or properly set. And they've gotten that top upper portion of their body opened up, you know, it kind of opens up your chest area and gets your shoulders back where they need to be. And the gun, you want to make sure that it's not too high or too low in the pocket on your shoulder. For women, you know, if you mount it too low, I probably don't even need to mention the obvious. That's going to hurt. There's a mammary gland that's in there that if you hit that, you only do it once or twice before you realize never to do that again.
Yeah.
And it hurts. If you mount it too high, then the toe of the stock is going to dig into the top of your shoulder. And that hurts. And it's not like it hurts in the way that, you know, it's going to break something and you're never going to want to shoot again, but it's going to be really uncomfortable and it's going to make it difficult to keep shooting for that day. But when you have the gun mounted correctly to your shoulder, the comb of the gun should actually be just above the top of your shoulder, just above the clavicle. So when you have it like that, all you need to do is literally just put your head forward and down on the comb on the stock, versus, you know, I see sometimes a lot of scrunching, you know, kind of just rolling their heads over to the side, just not quite sure what to do. Kind of heard at some point in time in their life about recoil. So that's something that I try and really adamantly tell people, say, look, not even Superman can hold back the recoil. Even the lightest recoiling gun is going to have some amount of recoil. But if you don't have your head forward and down and on the gun, you're going to get a little rabbit punch in your cheek. And it's not going to break your jaw. It's not going to knock your teeth out. But it's going to be ouchy. And you'll end up with a little raspberry right there that you probably don't want to walk around with for the rest of the day.
Yes.
So
that's happened to me.
It's just a matter of, yeah, it's just a matter of understanding, you know, you just keep your head forward and down. You know, I usually show them, it just takes a few seconds, you know, the zygomatic bone, your upper cheekbone, the mandible, and then in between there's what are known as buccinator muscles. And those guys, you know, I usually joke and say, you know, those are your granny your granny muscles, because that's when, you know, Nana sees you, just like, oh, I haven't seen you in forever, and pinches your cheek. And yeah, it's annoying, but it's not, you know, it's not a big deal. Those buccinator muscles can take a lot. So if you get your head forward and down on the gun and seated with those buccinator muscles on kind of going along the top of the comb, then when that recoil comes back, you don't ever notice it. And best of all, when you do it that way, it does two things. It not only deals with recoil, but it also makes sure that your eye is on the rib of the gun correctly, because that's exactly what needs to happen to get the right sight picture. If your eye is too high, you'll shoot over the bird. You'll see too much of the top of the rib. If your eye is too low, you'll never see the bird, because you'll just be looking at the back of the receiver. So it's, again, just making sure that that gun fit is correct.
Hey there, Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. You know, today is a day for adventure, and Cub has all the Nabisco snacks you need to make sure that adventure is delicious from start to finish. Life is just sweeter when you share Oreo cookies on the trail. Also, when you crunch Ritz crackers at the campsite or rock the boat with rich cheese crispers. Stop a Cub on the way to your adventure. The great outdoors is calling. Be sure you bring the snacks.
Hewitt Docks, Lifts, and Pontoon Legs began in a small south central Minnesota town with a mission to make dock install and removal easier by inventing the Rolodock. Well, now the company has evolved to provide everything you might need to improve your lake time. In addition to the classic Rolodock or the new Ultra Dock system, Hewitt offers all-terrain staircases, gangways, canopies, and lifts, along with any accessory you might need. Celebrate 50 years of business with us. Go to HewittRad.com to enter for a chance to win a free dock and monthly prizes. Hewitt Docks, Lifts, and Pontoon Legs. Work hard, play harder. You deserve a Hewitt.
Also, on top of proper gun fit and mounting the gun correctly, do you recommend that people practice repeatedly just mounting the gun in a repetitive motion correctly, so it almost becomes instinctive? It's a thing that you need to practice, and not just when you're at the sporting clays course ready to shoot.
Oh, totally. And you know, I usually ask them, hey, you know, do you have little kids at home or anything like that? And, oh, no, it's just, you know, me or hubby and me or whoever. And I said, great. Take your gun, open, unloaded, on safe, and stick it on the kitchen table. Because think about how many times you go in and out of your kitchen area or your dining area or somewhere in that vicinity. It's quite a few times in a day. And you don't really realize it unless, you know, Kate's giving you the homework, which is Every time you walk into that room, pick up the gun, mount it, and then follow in your ceiling two seams. If you have crown molding, it's even better, because it's just a little more obvious to follow. And you just basically put the gun up, make sure your head is forward and down, and follow down one side of the wall where the ceiling and the wall come together. Hit the corner and then go right down another side, and just do that every time you walk in. Well, at the end of the week, guess who's going to have a great gun mount?
Yep. That's actually very good advice regarding the wall seams. I've not heard that before, and I will try that, because
if you want to take it a step farther, I've got some students, they'll take, if you've ever seen those little tiny mini mag lights.
Oh yes.
And they will, tell them, please don't use duct tape, because that'll leave ugliness on the end of your beautiful new siren.
Yes. But
like painter's tape doesn't leave any residue. You know, take a little painter's tape and tape that mini mag light inside of the gun barrel, just sticking out, so you can hit the little button to turn it on. And that's even better, because you can dial that mini mag light in to just a pinpoint or laser pointer. And you will be able to see when you swing, is that beam checking itself, or is it a nice, smooth, solid, fluid motion across those two wall seams? And that'll tell you where you're looking It'll also show you if you're moving smoothly. And at the end of the day, the only way you're going to be able to move that smoothly is if the gun is working for you. I mean, it's fitting you.
Very good advice. Yeah, there are times when I'm out at the course and you kind of know as soon as you say pull, almost immediately, if this is going to work or if it's not going to work before you pull the trigger for some reason. And there are times when, you know, you kind of jolt because you're catching up to a clay bird or whatever, and you immediately know, well, that's not going to work, and it doesn't. So to practice that in your home with the light is great because it really allows your body to become instinctive and moving so smoothly versus trying to catch up to a clay bird or a pheasant or what have you. And I sometimes have a tendency to do that myself. So I'm going to take your advice on that. I'm going to get a little laser light, and I don't have kids in my house, so I can practice.
Yeah, and that's just because, I mean, kids get into everything. And
sure, absolutely.
You know, so that way they're not getting into something they shouldn't. But at the end of the day, you'll have a great gun mount. And let's face it, ammo is expensive. It doesn't cost anything to hit the button on the mini mag light and go at it.
For sure. And do you have any social media presence or anywhere else anyone could find you, or a YouTube channel or anything like that?
Yeah. So they can certainly follow Virginia Shooting Sports on Facebook and Instagram. I've got a great website, virginiashootingsports.com or vashootingsports.com. We've got a newsletter that comes out every month with all kinds of fabulous events. And we, majority of them, of course, here in Virginia, but we also do all kinds of stuff all across the country. And every other year we go to New Zealand. So lots of fun stuff. But definitely check us out on Facebook and Insta and see what we're all about. And I'm just super excited to finally get to meet you, Laura, and,
same here.
Be able to be part of this event.
Well, thank you for taking the time to not only be on the podcast, but also take the time to travel to Minnesota and introduce women, either if they're new or advanced, to the wonderful world of shooting sports. Because once you hit that clay pigeon with such ease, it really just feels great. And then you're a little bit addicted. So,
I mean, it's fun to pull the trigger, let's face it, but it's a lot more fun when you pull the trigger and that little orange thing explodes.
Yes, just to see it go poof is the best. Thanks again, Kate, for all your wonderful information. And also thank you to our sponsors, Minnesota Propane, Hewitt Docks, Kinetico, Star Bank, Oreo Cookies and Ritz Crackers, and also the Minnesota Historical Society. Last but not least, don't forget, introduce a kid to the great outdoors.